It's time out again. Sue Storm and Marie Vosburgh sitting in for Tom Gibson this morning. And joining us on the line is Tom Volk. He is the president and CEO of the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame. Of course, the baseball world still mourning the loss of Sparky Anderson, who died Thursday at his home in Thousand Oaks, California. Hi, Tom. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Sue, and it's obviously a sad occasion, but a good occasion in that there's so many people reliving some of the great years back in Detroit.
Well, Murray and I were just sitting here trying to figure out and remember the reasoning behind Sparky being inducted into the Canadian Hall of Fame.
Well, it was really unique. Same with Tommy Lasorda. People think we put him in because they're famous and we're trying to draw crowds, and that, of course, is ridiculous. Sparky played 10 years in the minor leagues, and six of those 10 years were in Canada. He played for both the Montreal Royals and the Toronto Maple Leafs, and of course that was the name of the baseball team back then. While he was a player here, five out of those 6 years, he won the International League's Smartest Player Award, and another inductee in the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame, Jack Kent Cook, gave Sparky his very first managing job, and that was with the Toronto Maple Leafs. So he cut his teeth here in Canada, and then of course went on to have, well, a Hall of Fame career in the USA.
Did the baseball Maple Leafs have better luck than the hockey Maple Leafs?
You know, they did all right. They had a lot of success over those years, and it's a big exhibit in our museum, and we have a lot of visitors loving to revisit those days as well.
Tom, when you look at Sparky Anderson, the fact that he won a World Series in both leagues, and you can go over records and whatnot, but Sparky Anderson, the game lacks today characters. Sparky Anderson was a character.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, you know, everything from him, you know, so carefully not stepping on the white chalk line when he'd go out to the mound, and all of the superstitions that followed him. And he had characters that played for him, like Kirk Gibson,
yeah.
And so on. But, you know, the thing, too, about him, while he was indeed a character, he also had a couple of adages that I use to this day when I coach kids. One of them is, whenever anyone would talk about a player of his that had success, he always said something along the lines of, hey, he was a good player, and I just tried not to get in his way. You know, instead of taking credit that so many people love to do. And the other thing Spark used to say, and he said this to me when he was here getting inducted 3 years ago, because we were on a pretty big high that weekend, and he said, don't forget the earth spins around every 24 hours and lands on top of the guy who was on top of it yesterday.
I like that saying.
Sparky was also an avid golfer.
Yeah, you know, he was a very active guy, and we were so lucky to get him in 2007 because his life had retreated, both physically and mentally. And living down at Thousand Oaks, his existence at that time was simply waking up each morning, going for a little walk in his neighborhood, talking to the people he was comfortable with, and he didn't like traveling anymore. He could have done so many things, the banquet circuit and everything else, to make unbelievable money and whatnot, but he was done. And that was one of the very last, you know, significant trips that he made, was to St. Mary's. So we really were lucky in the sense that the vote played out the way it did, and that we were able to get him up here that year.
What was that like? What was the atmosphere like when people knew that Sparky Anderson was going to be in the room?
It was pretty electric. I remember it very well, and I made it a point to make sure to be involved in picking him up because he was a boyhood idol of mine. I mean, I grew up in Windsor, and I was a Tigers fan through and through. To this day, it never leaves you when you have that kind of passion. And the thing amazing about him to me that weekend was he was, he really was withering away. He was in physical difficulty in many ways. And what he would do is he'd go out for about 20, 25 minutes, turn on the switch. And then he'd kind of give me a look, and we would take him into the back room or over to his hotel where he would lay down for a little while and just shut it down. He'd come back out of the public 100%, and he didn't want to be out there 80%, and that was just the way he carried himself. And it was a lot of effort for him that weekend. People who saw him and got to exchange with him saw nothing but good old Sparky Anderson being Sparky, witty, charming, humorous, humble. But he struggled through that weekend, but he put on a hell of a show.
Tom Volk is the president of the Canadian Hall of Fame. I was mentioning to Susan, Tom, before you joined us about going to a winter caravan the Tigers used to have, and Sparky was part of it. And what I said was that he held court, and I'm reading a story that was written by Gary Lewin of the QMI agency. And it says in the story, for a visiting journalist, the Chatty Anderson was a joy, talking effusively about baseball as he held court in his office. When you see clips these days of interviews with managers or behind a podium, they're three-word answers, and they can't wait to get out of there. Sparky would stay for hours and talk baseball.
You're so right. And I mean, we're a little bit oversaturated with those types of interviews due to all the television and 24-hour sports and everything else. I watched them feverishly during the World Series, and Bruce Bochy and Ron Washington, it looked like it was the last place they wanted to be was up on that podium. And part of that's because they enjoy their players and they want to get on with the business of winning. But Anderson, you know, he wasn't a showman. He wasn't out looking for autographs or all-star votes or people to go buy his baseball cards. He did it because he knew it was the responsible thing to do. He knew he had a bug. He knew people were caught up in the fever. And he delivered, and that's, you know, it kind of fits right in with him as an 80-plus-year-old when he came here to St. Mary's, acting in the very same way.
42 years he spent in professional baseball. Tom, what is it, do you think, that everybody knows who Sparky Anderson is? And Murray said to me, well, I'm so young that I could not possibly have known Sparky Anderson. Well, yes, I did, because on the Magnum P.I. series, it was all about Sparky Anderson and the Detroit Tigers, which was my introduction to the man. Did go to Tiger Stadium when he was with the team and see him in action.
Some batting practice.
But everybody knows who Sparky Anderson is.
It's true. I get chills when you mention the words Tiger Stadium. I think Comerica Park is beautiful, and it was time for a new change and everything else. But those days, and I've been to World Series, I've been to the Olympics, I've been very fortunate. Nothing was like the old Tiger Stadium when it was rocking. And when they won the World Series in 84, and even back in 68, I was 8 years old when my dad took me over there. And there was that right field overhang where it was the treasured place to sit. It felt like you could whisper into Al Kaline's ear. I think about the years that Mark Fidrich pitched in 1976. He didn't pitch a lot after 76, but there was electricity in that Tiger Stadium, the old Tiger Stadium, that I've never seen duplicated, and I'll go to my grave with those being my favorite baseball moments.
You're talking about Tiger Stadium, and it was almost the atmosphere, yes, it was the smell. You could smell ballpark Franks. You could smell beer that had been spilled 20 years ago.
You know, it's so funny, Murray, that you say that, because as we, you know, struggle along here with dreams for our Hall of Fame and the new museum that we so desperately want and need to build, I'm not a curator, but what I hope to have happen here is when someone walks into the museum part of the new museum, boy, I wish I knew those people in Nova Scotia that gave away $11 million.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'd like to see them do is walk up a ramp and have exactly what you just captured. Walk into and over a place where, as you're walking up the ramp, you hear guys saying, popcorn, Pepsi, and the smells of the ballpark capture another sense. And then you walk up and you see that sea of green, that ballpark that's been cut. And again, it gives me chills thinking about what it looks like when a professional ballpark is cut the right way. You know, and it's funny because London's Labatt Park gives me that same feeling sometimes.
Okay. Tom, any last words?
Just of joy. It's so cliche to say to celebrate and everything else, but I've been in an email exchange with Paul Carey, who nobody probably remembers him nearly as well as Ernie Harwell, but Carey was Ernie's broadcast partner. And he saw something I wrote yesterday about Sparky, and we've been exchanging emails just over the past day or two, and I have absolutely loved revisiting yesteryear, and I've enjoyed this conversation. So once again, Sparky, in his own way, has brought joy to people.
All right. Tom Volk, thank you very much for your time this morning.
Nice to talk to you, Sue. Thanks, Murray.
Thank you.